I want to encourage you to plan ahead for next Sunday night. Tonight, we normally do our family night. We're not going to do that tonight. We're going to actually wait a week, and we're going to do it the first week of April, which is next week. And what we're going to do is we're going to put together a little songbook that we're going to take some songs, maybe that you're familiar with, ones that we've done here and some that we haven't done in a while. We're going to put them together in a book. We're going to work really hard this week to get it together, a little booklet, so you guys can pick a song. And if you want to do a song that may not be in that list, I would suggest that you write it on a card or one of these comment cards and put it in there. And you put it in that gold box, and I'll open up the gold box in the morning and I'll get out all the prayer requests. We haven't actually had that many prayer requests in the gold box, but that's what that box is for. And then if you'll take that, put it in the gold box, and I get the prayer request out, I will also get these out, and I'll include those songs in the booklet next week. And I'll put them together, and we'll rehearse it, and we'll know it. But this is not Stump the Band, so don't pick an obscure, you know, People Need the Lord and all those ones that aren't in the hymnal. And I know you love that one. You remember Pass It On from old junior high camp days, those songs? Yeah, probably not going to find those in the new hymnal, just so you know. It's not Stump the Band. But if you have an old favorite you like to do, you know, Standing on the Premises, you know, what do they call that? Promises, that's what I said, right? Anyways, well, we'll stand on the premises and sing Standing on the Promises, okay? How's that sound? All right, you got that? Thumbs up? Okay, good. All right, so today we're going to be talking about our beliefs a little bit. We're going to talk a little bit about our gifts and using our gifts. And I want to start off by telling you that, you know, during the French Revolution War, there were three Christians that were sentenced to die in there. And we're talking about persecution today. And one of those Christians had the gift of faith, and the other had the gift of prophecy, and the other one had the gift of helps. And so they were lined up, and the Christian with the gift of faith was first, and the executioner said, I have a hood for you. And so and he walks up to the guillotine, and he says to the guy with the gift of faith, he says, I have a hood for you. He says, no, I don't want to wear the hood. I know that God is going to take care of me. And so they put him down, face up, so he's looking at the guillotine, and executioner pulls the rope. The blade didn't come down. Executioner says, okay, well, guess your God took care of you. And so the next guy is the gift of prophecy. He gets in there and offers the same thing. He says, look, I have a hood. You can wear the hood. It's speaking in French because I don't speak French. I'm not going to tell you the whole story. So he says, I know that God doesn't want me to die today. I have the gift of prophecy, and I'm going to not die. And so he says, all right, whatever. So he lays him down, and executioner pulls the rope. Guillotine does not come down. And so finally, he says, you must be something from God that gave it to you. So, okay, so the next guy has the gift of helps. He gets up there and he says the same thing. He says, would you like a hood? And the guy says, no, I don't need a hood. I have just as much faith as the other guys. And he says, okay, so he lays him down. And as he looks up, he goes, oh, there's your problem. He had the gift of helps. Man, all right. Open up your Bibles to Galatians, or 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you would. 1 Galatians chapter 12. If you'll turn there with me, we're going to start at verse 1. Good catch, Dan. Way to go. We're going to start at verse 1, and we're going to read the first 11 verses. And then we're going to read another verse out of Exodus, but it's just going to be a short verse. So we'll just, you don't need to look that one up. It's probably going to be up here anyway, so we'll put it up there. We're going to do, I think they're in backwards order, so son, you're going to probably go to the big one first. There you go. Now about spiritual gifts. Brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagan, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who, speaking by the Spirit of God, says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in men. Verse 7. Now to each one of you, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit of the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. And to another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these work of one and the same Spirit. He gives them to each one just as he determines. And so I want to share with you the other verse. The other verse I want to look at real fast is a verse in Exodus. And the Lord said to Moses, "What is in your hand?" Moses replies, "A staff." Shortest verse we're going to look at today. Okay, and I want us to take, just remember that. That's Moses's. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I ask that you would bless this, the reading of your word. Help us as we focus our attention on spiritual gifts today to see where we fit in this puzzle. Help us to see where we might serve better. Help us to see where we might be more submissive to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So last week we talked about the four essentials of church work, and the first thing we said was the church should be strong in preaching God's word, and the second thing was the administration of the ordinance to the church, which was baptism and the Lord's Supper, and the third was exercising gifts as its members, and then fourth was church discipline. Now, we talked about church discipline last week, so we're going to move into the gifts this week, and so I'm going to look real fast at what the statement of our doctrine says. It says, a New Testament church of the Lord Jesus Christ is an autonomous local congregation of baptized believers associated by covenant in the faith and fellowship of the gospel, observing two ordinances of Christ governed by his laws, exercising the gifts, rights, and privileges invested in them by his word, seeking to extend the gospel to the ends of the earth. Each congregation operates under the lordship of Christ through democratic processes. In such a congregation, each member is responsible and accountable to Christ as Lord, etc., etc., etc. I'm not going to read the rest of that, but I will tell you that the New Testament also speaks of the church as a body of Christ, which includes the redeemed of all ages. So when you start looking at the church and the body of Christ, we see kids sometimes as less important in church. And I want to tell you why we say it that way. Now be careful. I am not saying that. What I'm saying is, as a church, we have begun to see that kids are less important. And the reason I say that is because we don't give them a vote until they're 18. Or sometimes 16. You know what I mean? And there's a reason we do that legally, but the reality is God has gifted them when they ask Jesus Christ into their heart. So my son or my daughter, your son or your daughter, your grandchild, even though they might be a teenager, has a gift that God has given them. And so we're going to look into this today, and I think that every Christian knows that they're supposed to be fulfilling the Great Commission. Right? We know that we're supposed to be fulfilling the Great Commission. And it says that we have, the church includes everybody from all ages, meaning believers from every tribe, every tongue, and every nation. Right? I would say that we probably have a good mix of people who are from every other country in the world, right? Because we're not all American. We didn't all just, we were in America. We came here as immigrants and farmers and all kinds of people. Some of us came on the Mayflower. I mean, none of you, of course, but some of our families came over on the Mayflower. And so I think a Christian knows that we're supposed to be fulfilling the Great Commission, and I think that we're supposed to be sharing the gospel of Christ when the opportunity presents itself. And we should be witnesses for the Lord. Whether you're a pastor or you're a layperson, we're to be witnessing for God. We're supposed to be witnessing more than just in our words. There was a guy by the name of Saint Bernard something or other, named for the dog. The dog was named after him. And he said, everybody should be a witness for Christ, even if it comes down to using your words. We witnessed for Christ in the way we live, is what he's saying. And you know that we, as a church, have to exercise our gifts in order to be fulfilling the Word of God. We have to be faithful to the Word of God, and we want to be a faithful witness for the Lord, then we also need to be exercising our gifts. And when we read the book of Acts, we see that. We see that in the book of Acts. And do you know the difference between the first Christians of Jerusalem and Christians of today? In the U.S., persecution. You know, if the government made it a law that Christians were going to be killed, This week, they decided to make an edict that all Christians would be killed. I guarantee you, the church services across the nation would drop in attendance next week. But the upside of that is we'd have people that are totally filled with the Spirit sitting in service. Because if you're totally filled with the Spirit, there ain't no law in the world that's going to tell you to not worship. There's no law in the nation that's going to tell you to stop. So listen, persecution. You may not feel persecution. You don't have to live in China and Africa and India and all those places to feel persecution. You don't have to live there to feel that. Listen, we are called as Christians to be persecuted. I'm talking about people who are controlled by the Holy Spirit and led by the Holy Spirit and meant to follow the Holy Spirit, because the reason we don't have persecution today is because we're not living our lives by the Holy Spirit. We say we are, but I don't think we are. We have people who are in church that they're not living for the Lord the way they should during the week. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Do we have that? This is out of 2 Timothy. It says, all who desire to live godly in Christ will suffer persecution. That's not if, that's all. And what happens, if you live in Jesus Christ, you will suffer persecution. It doesn't say you only suffer persecution if you live somewhere else. It says everybody who believes. We got to live our faith. If we live our faith, then we might suffer persecution. And maybe we'll talk about this some other day, but Christians that are in the body of Christ or in the church need to be led by the Spirit. We have to be Spirit-led. Remember, the head is the head of the church. Christ is the head of the church. And we're led by our head, which is Jesus Christ. And when we forget to lead or let Christ lead, then our arms and limbs do things that we're not supposed to do. I don't know about you, I've seen people with Parkinson's and they start to lose control of their limbs, right? And some of it's really bad. And it is really a problem. What's happened is there's a disconnect between this hand and their brain. And they're trying to repair that, but they haven't been able to do that medically. And you know, sometimes the church goes off and does its own thing. Disconnected from the Word of God, disconnected from Christ. And we try to fix that, you know? And maybe our arms will be doing this and our legs are running the other direction because they don't want to be near the arms. Well, the reality is we're the body of Christ and we can't just leave our legs. We can't just leave our arms. You know, the body is used for several reasons. Number one, we have this, that we use it as an analogy because Jesus Christ is the head. Number two, we have arms that have purposes. We have legs that have purposes, right? And some of us got a new one. You got a new hip, right? So he's going to be running soon. He got a better hip. And wouldn't it be great if we could all be the bionic Christian, right? Nothing could stop our church if we could just all be, and really that's controlled because bionic parts don't have brains of their own. So, if you want to serve Christ, you cannot, well, I don't mean to say it this way, you can't have your own brain. You've got to submit to the brain of Christ. You've got to submit to the thoughts of Christ, right? We have to do this in order to do, the body has skin to protect the organs. If the skin gives out, our organs are in danger. Vice, as well as our organs, if they give out, one gives out, you know, some of us have two of those in the organs in there, but if the heart goes, we're gone. Right? We can lose an arm. We make up for it. The other arm has to work twice as hard. But that's not how the church, that's exactly how the church works. When we lose an arm, the other arm has to work twice as hard to get the work done. And that's not how we're supposed to be. So you think, well, Pastor, we don't have all the parts to the body. Well, why not? Let's get him here. Let's get him in there. Get him busy. If you're still in 1 Corinthians, look at verse 12. It says, now about spiritual gifts. I don't want you to be ignorant, he says. I don't want you to be ignorant. Ignorance is not stupidity, by the way. There's a difference. All right? And so one of the things that drives me crazy is willful ignorance. Choosing to be ignorant is something that we do all the time. I don't want to know that. I don't want to know that. Because once we learn that we're supposed to do something, then we got to start doing it. But we have this willful ignorance, right? It's like when your kids, you look at your kids, you say, all right, who broke the glass on the floor? And the kids look at you and go, It wasn't me, right? They know who did it, but they're not going to rat him out. They're going to play willfully ignorant. So when God says, what's going on in your church? You don't look at God and say, it wasn't me, right? We pray for one another. We support one another. Paul says in Corinthians, he says, you know you are Gentiles who used to worship idols and were led by these false notions and the things like that. And you know, today, we get led by false idols. And the reason he uses Gentiles is because they were a people that were less than the Jews, right, at that point. Now, today, we would call that racism. All right, but that's not what he was saying. He's saying, Gentiles, you used to worship idols. You need to be taught how to do this, right? And so it's the same thing today. We need to start teaching. What does it say? It says that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. So if you find yourself using Jesus' name in vain, all right, and here's what I mean by using the Lord's name in vain. People say, it's pretty simple. If you use Jesus' name more on Monday than you do on Sunday, there's something wrong. Okay? And they say, usually Jesus Christ is usually followed by something I did. Right? My dad hits his thumb. He says, Jiminy Christmas, right? What he says, right? So, that would you agree to that? That is using the Lord's name in vain. Would you agree with that? Okay, I'm looking for a nod. You can agree. Okay, now. What about the guy who says, praise Jesus all the time, no matter what it is? Praise Jesus. Man, I got hit by a car. Well, praise Jesus. Because he gets so, I knew a guy that was that guy. Remember that guy? He was like, praise Jesus, praise Jesus, praise Jesus, praise Jesus. Break it. Praise should have meant nothing. I couldn't tell whether he was really praising Jesus or he's just using the Lord's name again. So we have to be careful that we don't use the Lord's name in vain. There's a definition to that, and we'll look at that one day too, right? So we have to, what about the second part of Paul's statement? He says that no one can really say Jesus is Lord unless they be filled with the Spirit. Unless you're filled with the Spirit, you can't say Jesus is Lord. What does that mean? That means the people who aren't saved that say Jesus is Lord, they don't really mean it. If they meant it, they would absolutely be saved. Amen? That's what that means. It says, Matthew 16:16 says, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus said to them, Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood has not revealed to you this, but my Father who is in heaven. What he's saying is, blessed to you, Simon, because you finally got it. How many times do you have to ask somebody before they get it? The light goes on. Bing! Oh, I understand. That's what Paul's saying. Verse 7 says, The manifestations of the Spirit are given to each one for the profit of all. So how many Christians, can I ask you this, what percentage of Christians have spiritual gifts? How many would you say? 90%? 70%? How many? 100%. All Christians are given spiritual gifts, so there's not one that's left out. So everybody's got a gift somewhere. Now, do all 100% of people know what their spiritual gift is? No. There's a couple of spiritual gift surveys you can do online. I would do a search real quick on Google. Do the spiritual gifts inventory, and it'll tell you what your spiritual gift is. Now, be careful. You might find out that your spiritual gift is not what you thought it was. All right? I had a pastor who told my friend, you have the spiritual gift of construction. Scratched my head. I said, they don't even use that word in the Old Testament or New Testament. Construction, they talked about the... No, it wasn't a spiritual gift. What he has is a spiritual gift of service. So you need to understand what your spiritual gift is. So please do that at some time. Everybody's got 100% of people who accept Jesus Christ have a gift from God. It says in James chapter 1, verse 17, what? Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, right? Who does not change like shifting shadows. God has never changed. He's always the same. So what happens is we get our gifts from Him. So His gifts are consistent, right? Which means He's going to consistently be there to see you through the end of it. There's another verse in Philippians that said, Who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, what I don't know is what he means by until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm hoping what it means is until my life is over or until Christ comes again or whatever that means. It could mean until I die and I go to heaven and I'm with Jesus Christ. It could mean all those things. But I will say to you that if we don't use our gifts right and we don't get in the right spot, our body isn't going to be functioning. And that is how we're supposed to function in the Spirit of Christ. We have to function together, right? Having an ability to sing or an ability to preach or ability to count to four or an ability to drive or an ability to whatever your ability is or your great talent that you have, that is not necessarily make you a spiritual person. There are lots of non-Christians who have a great gift of singing, right? I'll confess right now. I used to love to listen to Whitney Houston. That woman could hit a note, stay solid for a long, she had a great voice. But she never served God with her voice. So was that her spiritual gift? I don't know. It was a talent she had, you know. If she didn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, she has no spiritual gift per se. Because there's no gift of the Spirit to have. You don't have the Spirit with you. There are a lot of people who talk a great talk. There was a guy here last month or this month, Tony Robbins. He got up. I'm sure he said, how many hours did he speak for? 6 hours? Something long amount of time. I'm sure he is a great orator. He gets people fired up for yourself, right? You have the power to do this in yourself, he says. You can do this, and he walks on coals. You have the power to do this. I will tell you, that is not what God's called you to do. Wouldn't it be great if he got saved? And he began to share Christ with that kind of enthusiasm. It'd be awesome. People are very likable. They're friendly. They're charming. And they're helpful even. There are helpful people that aren't Christians. That means they don't know what their spiritual gift is yet. Paul says that things are given to the church, but these things are given to help the church to profit all. Right? So they're referring to the body of Christ. So the reason we're gifted is to benefit the body of Christ. Our talents and our abilities are to lift up the church, lift up others in the body of Christ. That's what we're supposed to do with him. And the church will profit from them. The church is going to be blessed by your gifts and your abilities and your talents, right? They are going to function better as a church. We are going to function better if all of our parts work right. Right? And listen, I know I've been in churches of all sizes. And sometimes you get two people who are very closely gifted. And they argue over who's going to be in charge of that ministry, whatever that ministry is. Right? Maybe you and her have the same gift, or you and he have the same gift, but God is calling you to step down and let that person serve. Maybe God has given you another gift that you can work on. Right? So, when our members are focusing, as members of the body are focusing on God, the church benefits. So let me say this quickly. It doesn't mean that if you're an arm, you're supposed to try and be a leg. I'm not telling you that. You still are gifted, right? But sometimes we need to help in other areas. I'm not telling you that God is telling you your gift isn't valid. I'm saying is, we all need to try to serve in any area we can. So look at Romans chapter 12, starting at verse 8, or 4. It says, for as we have many members in one body, all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, individual members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace of Christ, or the grace that is given to us. Let us use them. If prophecy, then prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. There's a characterization that goes with your talent or your gift. In other words, do the work that God has gifted you in accordance to God's word. All right? You may have the gift of leadership, but you may be leading somebody away from Christ. So you need to be careful how you lead. You have the responsibility as a pastor, I have the responsibility of shepherding. And if I shepherd my sheep across a railroad track and there's a train coming, I'm going to be responsible for the railroad destruction of my sheep. So you can lead people astray. So be careful. Look at verse 11. It says, all these work for one and the same Spirit, and He gives them each one just as He determines. So we need to understand that the Holy Spirit gives us these gifts as He wills. We should desire to be better at them, right? And we should desire to be more effective for the cause of Christ. If you're not using your gift to effectively, to be effective in the cause of Christ, then you need to get busy. You say, well, I'm too old to do that. Well, no, you're not. If God gave you a gift, He gave you a gift until the day of Jesus Christ. And last I checked, it ain't today. Right? So you need to use it. You say, well, I don't know how to do that. Well, listen, the Holy Spirit gives you these gifts and He gives you the ability to use them for the profit of all. And that's important because we often think that success is dependent upon us. Whether I'm succeed or not is going to be dependent upon me. But listen, what does the scripture say? It says, I planted, Apollos watered, but who brought about the increase? God. God did. And so it wasn't Moses who delivered the Israelites out of Egypt. It was God, through Moses, led the people out of Israel, or out of Egypt into Israel. Listen, God did this through Moses, right? Remember that verse? Then the Lord said to him, what's in your hand? And Moses said, a stick. He tells him, throw it on the ground. And you know the story from there, right? Each of us has a gift. We need to exercise that gift. We have to be faithful to it. So let's recap. This is where you're going to fill in your notes. This is the fill in the blank parts, okay? You there with me? So what are spiritual gifts? Okay, a spiritual gift is a manifestation of the Spirit of God, given to every man to profit the church, to profit everyone. That's why we're given, okay? So what is a spiritual gift? Manifestation. Unlike a natural ability, a gift is a supernatural ability that God gives to a believer. Listen, it's not just a natural ability you have, it's supernatural. Why? Because it comes from the Father. It comes from the Father. All right? So, sovereign manifestations of the presence and the power of God to meet the present need, whatever that is. They are granted to the church of God for their good and for their growth and for their potential, right? We can mature the church through these gifts. There are three types of gifts. Let me tell you what they are. Okay? The first one is motivational gifts. These are motivational gifts. How this works is, in a believer, is to put us in shape. They're to motivate us into doing the things that we want. They're gifts that have words and actions to them. That's the motivational gifts, all right? And those are, and then there's the ministry gift. You, by the way, write this verse down. Romans 12, 3 through 9. That talks about the motivational gifts. And then ministry gifts, all right, is the second area. What God does, He uses a believer to meet the needs of other believers. In ministry, that's a ministry gift. And look at, you can write this verse down. It might be in there. 1 Corinthians 12, 27 through 31. I want you to read these later. We don't have time to do it all today. And so there's motivational, there's ministry gifts, and then finally there's the manifestation gifts. Manifestation is seeing God work through a believer, right, in a situation that demonstrates His supernatural power and ability. That's what God gives us, the manifestation gifts. All right? So, and then the next question is, who is given spiritual gifts? Every believer. You need to understand that today. You are given a spiritual gift. You're indwelt by the Holy Spirit from the day you get saved. And along with that indwelling of the Holy Spirit comes a spiritual gift. And it might be a motivational gift. It might be a ministry gift. It might be a manifestation. I don't know what it is, but you will find out. And the Holy Spirit will empower you to use that gift in a wonderful way. So, we get those at the moment a person receives Christ. And so everything that you do, everything you perceive, fits through this lens of God. So when God is looking down on the church and He sees he sees Ted over here and Steve over here and Mary and Jean and all these people in church. He sees them all working together. Through his lens, he gets to direct things, right? He gets to tell you what to do and where to use those gifts. He sees this through a spiritual lens, and I think that's what he's doing in our church. He's looking at us and saying, okay, where's Dan? Oh, there he is. Dan, I need you to move over here. If it were only that easy. Oh, man, sometimes I wish God would say, would you take two steps to the right there, young man, because you're not where you're supposed to be. But I fight with God all the time. I say, but God, this is what I know we're supposed to be doing. He says, really? Did I tell you that? Did I tell you that you're supposed to do this? Well, no, but I read it in a book. Listen, we're supposed to use them as we get them. Where are we supposed to use our spiritual gifts? Where are the gifts discussed in there? Do I have these written in there? 1 Corinthians 12, 14? Do I have that in there? I have those written in there. Okay, so look up those verses. Those are additional passages that list the spiritual gifts and where you're supposed to use spiritual gifts and how they're supposed to be used. And how do the gifts influence the body of Christ? Well, the church is designed to function as a physical body, right? So when the leg does its job and it moves forward, the next person can step forward as well. And I don't know if you realize this or not. When you walk, unless you're goofy, and some of us are goofy because of the way we're born, our arms balance us out the way we walk, right? I step forward with this, and usually what happens is my arm goes out when I walk. Have you noticed that? That you notice next time. I'm one of those little CD guys that notice those things. So what happens is when somebody told me one time to walk with your foot and your hand moving at the same time, I look like a goober. I can't do it. Why? Because it doesn't come natural. The body naturally wants to work together. And so when I stop, my toes stop me from going forward and keeping falling on my face. Now, as I get older, falling on my face happens more. Why? Because I lose connection with parts of my body. Yes, my foot falls asleep. Why? I don't know. It just did. And then I just hit the ground. Why? Listen, some parts of our body don't always function like it should. And it really messes us up. So what I want us to do is see how we can keep the body healthy and keep us going. Because as you get older in life, things stop working the way they're supposed to, right? And then we have to overcompensate or compensate for those things. And as a church, it throws us off balance. It throws us off balance. Does that mean that no one will ever leave the church? No. What that means is that when God takes somebody away from the church, he's going to bring somebody else in that will fill that spot. Right? And it may not be right away, and we may have to learn how to walk a little differently. But we can do it. We can move forward. Each believer can experience a fulfillment of using their gift if they use their gift. And here's our problem. We get confused. Some of us have the gift of ministry, right? And we want to serve. And this happens a lot. First grade teacher decides, I can't teach anymore. I got to move to Texas with my husband. He's going to go, and I got to go with him. So the guy who has a ministry gift says, well, I guess that means I'm supposed to teach first grade. I don't like kids, but I can do it. So then they get in there and teach first grade and find out that they hate kids even more. And then pretty soon the kids hate the teacher, and then pretty soon they hate the church. Well, why? Because we're trying to put somebody somewhere that doesn't belong. So as we grow as a church, you're going to say, well, we want to do this. Well, yes, we do. Somebody said to me one time, are we going to ever have a choir? Well, why don't we have a choir? I said, well, take a look around. It takes, what, 40 people to have a choir? We get 40 people. We're excited about just having them in the seats. Doesn't mean that we can't ever have a choir. It just means right now it might not look like that. Somebody says, oh, Pastor, you should put together a brochure and advertise. I say, okay, what am I going to advertise? We got to get people in the spot. So there's times coming up where you can get involved. We have children's ministry that's developing right now, a children's Sunday school, a nursery program to reach preschoolers. And I don't know what it looks like yet. This is what young millennials are all about. Well, tell me what that looks like, Dan. Okay, I don't know what it looks like. If I did, I would have done it a long time ago. I don't have that gift. But you tell me what it needs to be done, and I'll do it. I have that kind of gift. I can do the exhortation gift. I can implement a program. I just get to know what it is. But I don't want to work the nursery. You don't want me in the nursery. Right? There would be no goldfish done at the end of the hour, and we'd have to buy goldfish every week. Right? So you need to know that each believer has to be aware of where God wants you to meet a need. And if you're not currently meeting a need, then you're not in the right spot. You need to figure out what need you're going to meet. You know? That's our job. The Lord desires to unify and edify the church. The Lord desires for us to be united together and to learn together. That's what we're called to do. The manifestation of the Spirit, this is 1 Corinthians 12:7. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit everyone. Does it say in the NIV, it says, for the common good. And you may think, you know what? I'm not responsible to make that person happy or not happy. And I will say to you, you are right. You are not responsible to make that person happy or unhappy, but you are responsible to make God happy. You're responsible to do what God tells you to do. And so when God tells you to get on your running shoes and run, you better run. Right? If God tells you that you're gonna need to hone your gift, then you hone it. One of the worst things, I think every sporting event or every sport in the world, now I'm not a sport guy, but I will tell you that I've watched my kids and the worst experiences they have is what they call conditioning. Because they do twice as much as they would, three times, four times, five times as much as they would in the actual competition. The competition, they get three jumps in a long jump, right? Three? But they train for 3 weeks prior. They jump 300 times before they jump that one time that matters. And I will say to you that sometimes we got to jump because God's telling us to jump, folks. We have to condition because God's telling us to condition. So we have to condition. All right? And in order for us to condition, we got to be plugged into what God's telling us to do. And if you are not saved, you'll have no idea what God is telling you to do. You'll be running around like a chicken with your head cut off. And I've never actually seen it, but I've heard it's gross. Right? They have no idea where they're going. They keep going and going and going and going until what happens? They die. And in the process, they spill blood everywhere. That's gross. I know. I'm sad. In the process, they make a mess of everything. And that's what we do as a church. When we run around with our chicken, like a chicken with our head cut off, we make a mess out of everything and we never get anything accomplished. Those Mennonites, they know how to do it. They just go and they throw it in a box. Sorry. It's life, guys. Don't mean to gross you out. But we need to get busy, right? Am I right? Let's get busy together. Let's get busy together. So why do I say that? Because it's important for us to realize what our gift is, number one. You have to figure out what that is. Figure out what that gift is and use it, right? And use it and perfect it. Get better at it. When you think you've got it down, God's probably going to have you get even better at it. Listen, guys don't get a world record to stop. They keep setting records because they want to get better and better and better. That's what we should be doing with our spiritual gifts. You want to get better and better and better, right? So where are you at this morning? Are you in basic training? Are you in what they call heck week? You know, where you're just working it all, trying to get it all done, right? Trying to get the best out of you. You know, listen, the reason you train to do the things that you want to do, the gifts, because if you try to do everything, you're going to be exhausted and you're not going to be good at the thing you are good at. You got to be good at what you do, you know? So, if your gift is teaching, don't waste your time doing something else. Teach. And you would say to me, Pastor, there's no class to teach. Well, who are you teaching outside of this building? Teach wherever you go. Teach. My gift is preaching. We already have one preacher, right? Dan, what am I going to do? Well, you go preach the gospel wherever you're called, to and fro. You go and preach the gospel, right? I have the gift of giving. How much? Everything. Because that's what the gift of giving is, right? There are so many gifts, I couldn't list them all. So you need to find out what it is you have, all right? And otherwise, I'm just going to ramble. I could go on forever. I could, but lunch is calling, all right? So what are you doing today? Are you plugged in? Are you just waiting for the gate to drop so you can take off? Let's do it together. If you have any questions about it, you need help getting through this process, I'll help you get through the process. We know how to find your spiritual gift. And I'm not going to assign you something that's not in your gift house, in your wheelhouse. Okay, don't be afraid to say, Pastor, I want to be used, because I'll find out where you're usable and use you there. Because I don't want to plug in someplace you're going to fail at, because that doesn't help you or doesn't help me. I mean, it helps us learn what not to do. But wouldn't you rather just have success? Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. Father, as we move forward, I pray that you would help us as we enter this time of invitation. Use it to change our hearts. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.